Instagram backtracks.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The online photo sharing site Instagram made a lot of its users angry this week with a change to its terms and conditions. The site, which is owned by Facebook, announced that it might use some people's photos in advertisements. Well, that started an uproar, and last night, Instagram's co-founder issued a clarification. Marketplace's tech reporter, Quina Kim, joins us now with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, Quina, what is Instagram saying now?
Well, let's back up a little to Monday when Instagram released a new privacy policy that got a lot of people angry. The part that everybody's honing in on is a passage that's broadly being interpreted as allowing Instagram to use your photos and advertisements on it or on Facebook, its parent company. So yesterday, in response to all this outrage, the company's CEO, Kevin Systrom, put out a blog post saying that they've heard it and they're going to address it and come out with sort of more clearly written or differently written privacy policy. But in the meantime, he wanted to make it very clear to everybody that Instagram's intention is not to sell people's photos.
Intention is not to sell. They've heard it and addressed it. I didn't hear any specifics about what they're going to be doing, though.
Yeah, everybody's holding their breath because it's obviously it's all in the language, right?
Exactly. Now, if Instagram is not going to be using people's photos in ads, then how's it going to make money?
Well, that's the billion-dollar question, right?
Right.
I think that obviously they're going to rethink this policy, but advertising is still going to be a part of their future, which is what Systrom said in his blog post. But what that's going to look like, we don't know. And obviously this is a question that all these companies are struggling with. You have a lot of users, but how are you going to make money off of it?
Marketplace's Quina Kim, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading this morning. Tokyo up 2.3% today. London up 0.5% right now. The happy music you hear this morning is brought to you by some new optimism that Washington is going to reach a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff. I guess that's what investors around the world think right now. And there is some optimism that some monetary stimulus is on the way in Japan, which just elected a new prime minister. Meanwhile, the Swiss bank UBS will pay $1.5 billion to settle accusations that it rigged that key global interest rate, LIBOR. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 115 points to close at 13,350. That's its highest close since mid-October. Well, in Newtown, Connecticut, local businesses are taking on a new importance in the wake of the tragic shooting last week. Businesses like the all-night Blue Colony Diner. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein spoke with a waitress there and filed this report.
For the past 10 years, waitress Julie Burgess has brought diners their coffee, onion rings, and steaks. Burgess knows these people who come in during her 5 to 11 shift. She sees them. She greets them. But now, it's different.
You ask, hey, how are you? You know you shouldn't, but you just get a look. There's not an answer behind it. It's sad. And they just kind of look at you like you know the answer. Why are you asking?
The Blue Colony seems like a throwback. Chrome, thick, dripping wedges of pie and cake gleaming. Stools at a long counter. Burgess says the place is known for its portions. They're huge, but the only people with much appetite right now are the out-of-towners. She says everybody else is eating small.
French fries, chicken fingers, quick things to get in, see everybody. They were wandering around to table, you know, and go home. I mean, we had 1,000 people come in last night, and they were all just here to see each other, not really to even eat.
For some, work can serve as a wonderful distraction during a stressful time, a way to escape from the sadness. But for Burgess, that's impossible. Too many people need the colony right now, like this one table she had on Monday night.
It was an older couple. They were grandparents, and they didn't lose anybody, but they were very upset. They couldn't stop crying, and just seeing them cry, just, it broke me. And some of the girls were hugging me, and the customers turned out hugging me, and just all of a sudden everybody's hugging each other. That's how you know it's kind of like family.
Lately, Burgess finds there's been a lot of hugging, shoulder rubs, and arm pats. People do whatever little things they can to comfort each other at the restaurant. Burgess says she likes it when there are these bright moments of laughter.
Because when you hear somebody laugh, it kind of makes somebody else laugh, and laughing is like a chain reaction.
But the laughter doesn't last. Burgess says the conversation keeps drifting back. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
The Census Bureau is trying something new that could let you avoid a knock on your door from one of its workers. For the first time, the Census Bureau is doing one of its major surveys online. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The Census Bureau will be experimenting online with its American Community Survey. It's a yearly questionnaire Census sends out to a sample of about 3 million Americans. Why go online? To make it easier and quicker to respond. Robert Santos is a statistician with the Urban Institute.
It's much easier to get online and snap out a form than it is to sit down and handwrite answers on paper.
Plus, you don't have to deal with phone calls or home visits from census takers. Online forms make the Census Bureau happy, too. They're cheap. Frank Vetrano is the associate director of the census. He says the move to the web could save a couple million dollars.
There's a lot of less paper we're going to be mailing out to households, which reduces the amount of workload that we need for calling people back on the phone or even visiting them in person, which are the real expensive modes of data collection.
If you're chosen for the survey, you'll get a letter from Census asking you to respond online. But if you don't reply within 2 weeks, you can expect that dreaded dinnertime door knock. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, Facebook has a new user. It's Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. The page has some photos of the 73-year-old cleric, and about 15,000 people like the page so far. I'm doubting very many of them are in Iran, though, because Facebook has been banned there for 3 years. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.